it seems like it's been a long time since we've been at church. Some unexpected things happened in our life in the last couple of weeks. And as Brandon said this morning in the opening, we never dreamt we would be putting my nephew to rest this past, well, a week ago from Friday. And sort of an incredible journey for us as a family and some unexpected traveling and things like that. But it's good to be here today. And just to, I was just reflecting on our service tonight. Tonight is our communion service, a time where we pause in the busyness of our lives and the busyness of our schedules and take some focused time to reflect on what Jesus accomplished for us and what it means for us. And this morning I want to take just a few minutes. I'd like to ask you a question. As you look at the cross here this morning, what comes to your mind? Or as you look at the cross, what do you see? Because that's really what we're going to be doing tonight, is just stopping for a moment and taking a look at the cross and all that Jesus went through for us. And so this morning I want to talk about that just a little bit. But as you look at the cross, what do you see? It's so easy for us in our day. I see jewelry with pictures of in the shape of the cross that we wear around our neck, and you see it in a lot of places. And you know, this really actually looks really good here this morning. Wood that's a little bit rough, but very clean. And sometimes as we look at the cross, we forget the impact of the cross and what really was accomplished, because it's become a thing that we hold up very high, but it wasn't that, and we should hold it up high, but it wasn't that when Jesus experienced the cross. And as we look at the cross, what do we see? Turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 52. I'm going to read a few verses out of Isaiah 52 and then some out of Isaiah 53 as well. And we're familiar with the passage in Isaiah 53. But as we pause for a moment this morning and also this evening, there's several things that I hope that we can see as we look at the cross of Jesus Christ and what was accomplished on the cross for us. In chapter 52, verse 13, it says this. And actually, let me say my first point. First of all, I hope that as we look at the cross, one of the things we're able to do is grasp the effectiveness of what was accomplished on the cross. And in chapter 52, verse 13, it says this: "Behold, my servant will deal prudently." And actually, in chapter 52, he's talking about the redemption of Jerusalem. And then in verse 13, he makes a switch and begins talking about the servant Jesus Christ and what he will accomplish in our redemption as well. And so in verse 13, he says, "My servant shall deal prudently," and really that means he will be wise in all that he does, and he will be very effective in what he sets out to accomplish. He will be very effective in what he sets out to accomplish. And sometimes in our own lives, as we look at the cross of Jesus Christ, sometimes I wonder, we lose sight of the fact that God is effective. Jesus was effective in all he wanted to do to accomplish by his death on the cross, and we'll talk some more about that a little bit later, but he was effective in what he did. He accomplished what he set out to do, and he didn't do it half-heartedly or partially. He was very effective in accomplishing what he wanted to do by his death on the cross. "He shall be exalted and extolled and very high." And then it goes in verse 14, it says, And just as many as were astonished at you, so his visage will be marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of man. And he's really saying, in a part of the effectiveness by which he accomplished what he accomplished on the cross, he was beaten beyond what you and I can even imagine. And I was thinking of what Mel Gibson portrayed in The Passion of the Christ, and how brutal and how awesome it was. I don't think it even began to compare to what really happened to Jesus Christ and what he experienced on the death of the cross. He was beaten beyond what any man has ever experienced, so much so that there was no way that he could be recognized or even identified who he was. That's how much he was beaten. And as a result of that, it says, so he shall sprinkle many nations. And that's just a sign of the sprinkling of healing and cleansing that the priests did in the sacrifices that they made. But it talks about the fact that he's going to sprinkle many nations. The blood that was shed on the cross and through the beating and the torture that he experienced will sprinkle many nations, and there will be healing and cleansing that will flow out of that. What he accomplished on the cross, he did it very effectively. He was effective in what he bring, in the healing that he brought. And then it says, the kings shall shut their mouths at him, for what has been told them they shall see, and what they had not heard they shall consider. And really, as we stop and take a look at the cross, and if we ever get a grasp of the effectiveness of what Christ accomplished on the cross, we will shut our mouths in silence. It will silence us as people. And we think we know all about Christianity, and many of us here can argue Scripture till we become blue in the face. We think we know what it means to be a Christian. We think we know a lot of things. But when we ever take a look at the cross and realize what he accomplished and how effective it was and he was in accomplishing it, we will be silenced. We will stand in awe and wonder at the effectiveness of what Jesus Christ accomplished for us. It's not about something out there. It's not about some religion that we adhere to and follow. It's about what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. And he was incredibly effective in that. The second thing I hope that we can see as we take a look at the cross, that I hope we do, not that we see, but as we take a look at the cross, I hope that we reflect on our response to what happened in the cross. Verse 50, chapter 53, verses 1, it says, who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. You know, really, Jesus is not what we expected. All of us. If I would be looking for a man to follow, I wouldn't follow Jesus. I would be looking for a king that rode in on a white horse that rescued me from all the knight in shining armor, or whatever words we want to term. But that rides in on a white horse and rescues us and delivers us out of whatever we find ourselves in. And then we look at that and say, yeah, that's the kind of man that I want to follow. And Jesus was everything but that. There was no form or comeliness as we look at him. There's nothing that we see that would make us want to follow the man, Jesus Christ. There's nothing there. He was beaten, he was humiliated, he was mocked, he was scorned, the people hated him. That's a far, far cry from a king riding in on a white horse and rescuing us from something. And these verses are talking about the fact that there is nothing about Jesus as a man, as a person, what he accomplished on the cross, there is actually, and going to the cross, there is nothing about that that we as human beings would actually desire to follow that as we look on. But we have a choice in what we want to do with that. Verse 3 goes on and says, "He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him." That stood out to me. That those verses jumped out at me. As we watch him go through the shame and humiliation, our natural response is to hide our face from him. And that's really to go like this and say, "No, I don't want to be associated with him." You know, it was interesting. We were at the breakfast before the funeral of my nephew out in Colorado, and my niece, we were eating there, and she was all dressed for the funeral, and she grabbed a thing of yogurt, and I don't know if it had been sitting out too long or if she squeezed it a little bit, but when she popped the top of the yogurt, she literally was splattered from, I was going to say head to toe, but her lap was under the table. But it was all over her hair, her face, and all over her clothes. This is just before the funeral. And another one of my nieces there was embarrassed, totally embarrassed, and she hid, as it were, her face from her. She just went, "Oh my goodness, I'm not related to her," is what she said. But you know what? That's the response that we have as we look at Jesus Christ and we look at the shame and humiliation that he accomplished. Our natural response for us is to hide our face and say, "I don't want to be associated with that. I don't want to be associated with someone that's humiliated and beaten and bruised, a man that's acquainted with sorrows. He knows all about he's familiar with sorrows. He's acquainted with grief. He knows all that stuff." And so often our response is, "I don't want to be associated with that." And Brandon talked a little bit this morning about being ashamed of being associated with God because of what that will mean for us, how people looking on will not like us. And we love the praise of man more than the praise of God. Brandon talked a little bit about that this morning, and it is so true of us. It's so easy for us to hide our face from what we see on the cross because we're looking for the King. We're looking for someone great that we can follow, not someone that has been beaten beyond what we can recognize. What will our response be? Do we stop and consider, or do we just pass on and say, "No, I don't want to be associated with that"? Verse 4, the third thing I hope that we can do as we stop and take a look on the cross is that we can embrace the answer for all that we deal with in life. Verse 4, he says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." And this is the kind of person then that we can follow, or that we're drawn to following as we stop and look at the cross. He has borne our griefs, and literally that means to lift up or take the weight off of our griefs. He's carried our sorrows. "Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." There's these verses every one of us can identify with here this morning. It talks about him bearing our griefs and carrying our sorrows. Griefs literally means the afflictions of the body and the sicknesses that we endure of the body and mind is literally what the griefs is talking about there. Sorrows is talking about the pain that has been inflicted on us in life. The pain that we've experienced, whether intentional or unintentional, from people. God knows all about that, and the work that he accomplished, the effectiveness, one of the things that he was effective in accomplishing in the work of the cross is being able to lift up, to bear or to carry. Being born means to actually lift up, like lift the weight off of us as people, and carry the pain by which we have been inflicted. The things that we have been inflicted in our lives, whether it's the griefs, the physical things that we're struggling with, and we've had our share of that in this congregation. But it goes beyond that. It's the pain that we carry in our souls. The pain of our childhoods, the pain of what people have inflicted on us, the sin by which people have sinned against us as people. God has been effective. As we look at the cross, we see the effectiveness by which he has lifted that up off of us and helped us to carry and helped us to get through. I tell you what, when I was standing under the snow-capped Rockies, laying my nephew to rest, I'm glad that I could look to a Savior that was willing to, and able, actually, to take the weight of that grief and pain off of my shoulders. Because the circumstances around that are sometimes too much to bear. A 9-year-old boy being laid to rest. It's way beyond his time. There's all before his time. There's all kinds of questions that surround it. There's no closure that can be brought because no one really knows. We have our suspicions and there's different opinions of what happened. But there's no real closure that can be brought. There's no real whatever. All we know is that we're laying his body to rest. And the effectiveness that Christ has brought to the cross by his work on the cross in lifting and carrying the pain is absolutely incredible. I'll forever be grateful that he was effective in carrying, bearing our griefs and carrying our sorrows. But it goes way beyond that. It talks about our sins, our transgressions, our own sin as well. So as we look at the cross, in essence, our transgressions and our iniquities, we have two sides of the cross that stand out to us. One is our pain and the infirmities of our bodies that we feel. It's there on the cross with Jesus Christ. The other side of it is our sins and our iniquities. And he bore all of that. And then it ends up those verses by saying, by his stripes we are healed. I love that verse. By his stripes we are healed. We're healed of our sickness and infirmities and the pain and grief that we bear, but we're also healed of the infirmities of the soul, our sin, our iniquity. And Christ was incredibly effective in what he accomplished on the cross of Jesus Christ. So I hope we're able to see the effectiveness and embrace the answer for it in our lives. You know, if we don't embrace, I could have stood there at the foot of the Rockies laying my nephew to rest, and I could have kept all that weight on me. And the truth is I couldn't, because I couldn't carry it all. I didn't even know what to do with it. I didn't know how to deal with it. I didn't know anything. I was there. If I ever felt numb, it was then. And I tell you what, we can do that same thing in our lives, whether it's our sins and our iniquities or whether it's the griefs and sorrows that we bear. We can keep them all right here on us and endure the weight of it, or we have a choice of giving them to someone who's able to reach down and pick up. And he might not take the whole load off of us, but he picks up enough that we're able to bear, and he picks that weight up off of our lives. It might be our families that we're carrying the weight of. It might be our sons and daughters. It might be our brothers and sisters, our aunts and uncles, or our mom and dad. It could be anything. that it was afflicted on us in our lives. But we have an opportunity to give it to someone who's been incredibly effective in reaching down and just picking up a little bit of that weight and walking with us through life. He's able to carry our griefs, to bear our griefs and carry our sorrows. We need to embrace that. Also, I hope that as we look at the cross, we can marvel at the willing sacrifice. And I'm not going to read the verses, but in verses 7 through 9, it talks about how Jesus went through all this stuff and he didn't utter a word because he was willing to go through us. He didn't argue about the fact that it wasn't fair, that he was blameless and he was sinless, and there's no reason he should have taken the humiliation. And the accusations that were against him, were coming against him, were false. And it says he didn't even utter a word because he was a willing sacrifice to take all of that in your place and in my place, because we are the ones that should have been taking that as payment and punishment for our sins. He was a willing sacrifice. And I hope we can see that as we stop and take a look at the cross. And lastly, it says, I hope that as we look at the cross, we can revel in the satisfaction of the Father. And I love these next verses. I want to read them, actually. 53:10-12. You know, we look at this and we may not be able to understand all that he's saying here. It said, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. And when you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul, and he shall be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he bears their iniquities. Verse 12, therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. And if I can sum up those verses, it would be this. As the Father looks on at all that Jesus accomplished, the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, he is very pleased, and he's going to honor Jesus for what he accomplished. And we can look at that and we can say, well, what does that have to do with that, with us here today? But this is what it has to do with us here today. As we accept, let me back up a little bit. The Father is very pleased with what Jesus accomplished on the cross. When we accept in our own lives what Jesus accomplished on the cross, we walk in the Father's pleasure. And you know what? I know for in my own life in the past, and for many people that I've talked to and worked with, that is something that we don't experience very much. Walking in the pleasure of the Father. But when we give our things to Jesus Christ, when we allow him to carry our sins, our iniquities, our griefs, and our sorrows, we walk in the pleasure of the Father. And that's a neat thought. That's a neat thought that the Father is so pleased with what the Son did that as we accept it, it affects us today. You know, religion is not something that's just out there. Religion is walking in the embrace of a Father Christianity is walking in the embrace of a Father who loves us because we've accepted. Well, he loves us no matter what, but he's especially pleased with us when we accept and embrace what Jesus has done on the cross. And so tonight, as we enter into our communion service, I hope it's more than about eating a little bread and drinking a little cup and remembering what Jesus has done for us. I hope we're able to experience a little bit of the love of the Father, reaching down and wrapping his arms around us, because we have followed the plan that he has set up for us. 1 Corinthians, and we hear these verses a lot, chapter 11, 27 and 28, it says, it's talking about the communion service. He said, therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy, actually that word means irreverent manner, is guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And really, he goes on to talk about the fact that as we come, we need to examine ourselves. And I know churches throughout history have made all kinds of things out of those verses. But if I can sum up what I believe those verses mean, it would be this. What Jesus accomplished on the cross is no light matter. It's not something that we just look at and pass by. It's something that we need to stop and pause and reflect and consider what Jesus accomplished. And if we don't do that, if we partake of communion in an irreverent manner, it says we're guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Actually, Hebrews 6:6 says we're guilty of crucifying the Son of God afresh. And those are verses that sometimes I don't know what to deal with. But the truth is this. I believe if we're able to stop long enough to grasp the effectiveness of the cross, what I've been talking about here today, and realize what our response is, we can either respond in embarrassment or embracing the work of the cross, to realize that we have a healer that is able to bear our griefs and sorrows, our transgressions and iniquities. And if we marvel at the sacrifice and revel in the satisfaction of the Father, if we can look at the cross and do those things, we won't partake in an irreverent manner, because it touches every one of our lives. Every one of us are familiar with griefs and sorrows, and we're also very familiar with our iniquities in our lives that we carry around. I said this before in a sermon, and I love this this quote. I don't care what people say about me, because I know my wife knows that my life is much worse than what other people say. And I really don't care about what my wife says about me, because deep in my heart, I know there's a lot more garbage in there than she knows about. And I love that statement, because we all know that we carry iniquities and sins, have carried, and we still wrestle and struggle with them in our lives. So the cross is not about just something that's out there. The cross is about you and I. And a God that was willing to send his Son to carry our griefs and our sorrows, our transgressions and iniquities. And I'm glad that we can celebrate that together tonight. Let's pray. Lord, we're grateful, so grateful for what you've accomplished on the cross for us. And Lord, it's in times of grief and sorrow and sadness that we realize how deeply our relationship with you impacts what we carry around as we give them to you. And Lord, I pray that as we reflect in our own lives on the service this evening, as we actually really celebrate the work of Jesus Christ on the cross and what it means for us, Lord, it does cause us to be speechless at times, because we're undeserving of it, and yet you loved us and you did it for us. I thank you for the effectiveness of the cross in changing our lives, in bringing hope and healing in areas of pain and affliction and sin for us. And God, I pray that we would be sold out for you and on fire for you because of the work of the cross. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.